The townhouse door was unlocked. It always was. Pearl had learned that in the weeks since her father's death, every entrance Astrid Blackwell maintained, every threshold she guarded, was left open to those who knew the password. The password being blood, the password being consequence. Pearl shouldered open the heavy iron door and stepped onto the terrace. The wind hit her first, coal smoke and river mud, thinning the air until every breath felt like a knife, drowning out the distant hum of the city below. The sky offered no shadows, only the pale, wavering glare of gaslights miles down, each one a distant eye watching from the street. She did not seek shelter behind the parapet. She kept her coat buttoned to the chin, her hat pulled low, her hand in her pocket around the brass scissors. The ledger was in her other pocket, wrapped in oilcloth, heavy as a sin. She climbed the stairs, three flights. The steps groaned under her weight, a low complaint that echoed through the hollow bones of the building. On the second floor landing, she paused, pressing her ear to the plaster. No creak of a settling floorboard, no murmur of voices from behind, closed doors only the thin, suffocating quiet of a house where life had ceased to happen. The library door was open. It had been open since she broke in weeks ago, since she found the brass inkwell and the single leather-bound ledger on Blackwell's desk, since she read the entries that proved her father had been paid to look away. 3 months ago. The payment date aligned perfectly with the day Sela's veins operation collapsed. The day her father announced his retirement. The day the silk knot stopped appearing in alleyways and began appearing in pockets. She pushed the door wider. Astrid sat at the desk, not hiding, not waiting with a weapon, sitting in the third chair from the window, her hands folded on the polished mahogany, her silver hair catching the last amber light of a dying afternoon. She wore the same charcoal wool coat from the rooftop, though now it hung differently on her shoulders as if the wind had finally tired of fighting her and let go. "You came back," Astrid said. Her voice was the same as it had been on the roof, cold, precise, mournful. "I expected you to run further, or to go to the police. Neither seemed likely." Pearl stood in the doorway. Her hand remained in her pocket. The brass scissors pressed cold against her thigh. "I'm not here for you," she said. "No," Astrid tilted her head. A strand of silver hair fell across her cheekbone. She did not move it. "Then what are you here for? The ledger? You took it from my desk. I noticed its absence this morning. I assumed you would bring it back, or sell it, or show it to a magistrate. All reasonable choices. Burning it is new." Pearl's jaw tightened. She stepped into the room. The floorboard beneath her right boot creaked a sharp, bright sound in the heavy air. She stopped three paces from the desk. Close enough to see the fine lines around Astrid's eyes. Close enough to smell the lavender water she used, cutting through the beeswax like a needle through silk. "I'm here to finish it," Pearl said. Astrid's expression did not change, but something shifted behind her gray eyes, a flicker, a recognition, the way a seamstress recognizes a stitch she has seen a thousand times and knows exactly what garment it belongs to. "Finish what, Pearl? The investigation? The vendetta? The performance your father started and you inherited?" "My father didn't start anything. He tried to stop it." "Did he?" Astrid leaned back in her chair. The leather creaked. "Or did he just change sides? Architects don't abandon their designs, Pearl. They refine them. They improve the tension. They tighten the loops. Your father was a brilliant man. Perhaps the most brilliant mind this city has ever produced in the field of underground organization. And he wasted it on sentimentality." Pearl's fingers closed around the scissors. The handles bit into her palm, familiar and sharp. "He wasn't an architect. He was a detective. He was a man who understood that order requires sacrifice, that some truths are too dangerous to be known, that the world runs on compromises, not convictions. I offered him a place at the table. I offered him everything he wanted, retirement, security, your protection. And he took it. He took the money. He took the promise. And then he went and wrote your name in blood on the depot steps, as if I were some common criminal he could pin with a smear of his own arterial spray. It was a mistake, a sloppy, sentimental error that left me holding the bag while you held the knife. I did not burn the ledger to honor his memory. I burned it to erase the leverage you held over me, to ensure that no proof remained of my involvement, no thread left to pull that would tie me to the dead man's lies. Let the world think him a martyr. Let them whisper of his tragic end. But you would have nothing, no evidence, no weapon, just the ash of a compromise I refused to keep.
He did it to protect me.
Astrid laughed. It was a dry, brittle sound like paper tearing. Oh, Pearl, you really believe that, don't you? You really think your father's final act was paternal devotion, that he sacrificed himself on those marble steps like some Victorian martyr? She shook her head slowly. He was a coward. He wrote my name in blood because he knew I'd come for him, knew I'd come for you too, eventually. That smear on those steps wasn't an accusation. It was a relay race. He passed the baton to you in his last breath and expected you to finish the run. He engineered your rage the way he engineered his knots with precision, with patience, with the hidden loop that catches the light. The words landed inside Pearl like pins driven through fabric, each one a small, sharp pain. She felt them prick through her chest, through the armor she had built over months of investigation and loss and sleepless nights. She held still. She kept her face blank. She thought of her father's hands steady, calloused, precise, and the way he used to tie knots on the kitchen table while she sewed beside him, the rhythm of his fingers teaching her that tension was everything. Pearl's hand slipped from her pocket to the hem of her coat, fingers finding the silk knot she'd retrieved from the alleyway weeks ago. She'd meant to examine it properly. Hadn't gotten around to it. Now, with Astrid's words pressing down on her chest, she worked it loose between her fingers. Three crossings. A hidden loop. Symmetrical. Tight. Not veins, sloppy knotwork vein tied like a man rushing, all urgency and no finesse. This was different. This was the tight, precise signature of the original master, the one she'd seen sketched in the margins of her father's old journals. The knot her father had taught her to recognize. The knot that said, the architect was still in the room. "You're lying," she said, but her voice wavered, just once, a tremor she could not suppress. "Am I?" Astrid stood. She moved around the desk with the same grace she had displayed on the rooftop, unhurried, deliberate, occupying the space without apology. She stopped 2 feet from Pearl, close enough that Pearl could see the gray in her eyes, the same gray as the sky, the same gray as the coats worn by the men who followed her through subway tunnels and alleyways. "Look at me, Pearl. Look at what your father created. Look at what you've become. You wear his eyes. You carry his scissors. You think with his mind. Every lead you followed, every connection you drew, every stitch you counted, it was all him. You are his masterpiece." Pearl's breath came shallow. The oilcloth-wrapped ledger pressed against her ribs like a second heart. She could feel its weight, its presence, the truth contained within its pages. 3 months of payments. 3 months of silence bought and sold. 3 months of her father's compromise, documented in neat, looping script. "If you're so sure I'm his echo," Pearl said, "then why are you still afraid of me?" Astrid's smile was thin, almost imperceptible. "I am not afraid of you. I am disappointed in you. There is a difference." She reached into the breast pocket of her coat and withdrew a folded sheet of cream-colored stationery. She placed it on the desk between them. "I have a proposition, a final compromise." Pearl did not touch the paper. She kept her hand in her pocket, kept her fingers around the scissors. "I'm not interested." "You should be. The paper contains your new identity. A position, a salary, a life that does not involve sleeping in cold apartments and chasing ghosts through rain-soaked alleys. You can be my chief investigator. You can dismantle the remaining operations stitch by stitch, thread by thread, and I will give you everything you've been chasing. Access, authority, legitimacy. You will not be your father's daughter anymore. You will be mine." The offer hung between them like a suspended thread, trembling, waiting to be pulled. Pearl felt the weight of it, the seduction of it, buried deep beneath the cruelty of its delivery. To walk away from the investigation. To stop bleeding for a truth that had already bled her father dry. To accept the hand that had strangled her family and call it salvation. Her father's voice echoed in her memory, quiet and steady. "A hidden loop, Pearl. The truth always has one. You just have to find where it catches." She thought of Alina, shaking in her basement, her children starving because she had recognized the pattern on Pearl's father's coat. She thought of Doyle, burning the warrant, buying her time with his own career. She thought of the man in gray coat, watching from the shadows, waiting for the knot to tighten. And she thought of her father, slumped on the fourth step from the bottom, his mouth drooping, his blood spelling out a name he had written to save her. "I don't work for anyone," Pearl said. Astrid's expression hardened. The mournful quality drained from her voice, leaving something colder, sharper, more dangerous. "Then you leave me no choice." She moved fast. Not with the parasol, this time with a revolver drawn from the desk drawer, smooth and efficient, the barrel rising toward Pearl's chest in a single fluid motion. The brass fittings caught the fading light. The smell of gun oil cut through the beeswax. Pearl reacted on instinct. Her hand shot from her pocket, the brass scissors flashing in the dim light. She swung them upward, not at Astrid, but at the ledger in her coat pocket. The scissors bit into the oilcloth, tore through it, pulled the ledger free. Astrid fired. The bullet struck Pearl's shoulder. She felt it impact a hot, sharp punch that drove the air from her lungs and sent her stumbling backward. Pain exploded along her collarbone, radiating down her arm, white and blinding. She dropped to one knee. The ledger skidded across the floor. Astrid raised the revolver again, steady, precise, dead on target. Pearl's vision swam, rain or blood she could not tell. The gas lamps flickered. The room tilted. She crawled toward the ledger, her good hand dragging her body across the polished wood, her teeth clenched against the scream building in her throat. Astrid's finger tightened on the trigger. Pearl's hand closed around the brass scissors. She twisted. She drove the blades into the ledger's spine. Paper tore. Ink smeared. Names dissolved into pulp. She tore another page. Another. The sound was violent, obscene, the sound of truth being murdered. Astrid fired again. The bullet grazed Pearl's temple. Warmth spread down her cheek. She did not stop tearing. Stop, Astrid's voice cracked. The precision was gone. The calm was gone. Something raw and terrified lived in her eyes now, something feral and desperate. Stop it, you have no idea what you're destroying. Pearl lifted her gaze. Blood traced a hot path from her hairline into her eye. She dragged the heel of her hand across the skin and kept ripping. Sheets of paper drifted to the floorboards, pale as moth wings. Debts. Schedules. Names. Her father's cramped script, his quiet capitulation, his hidden ratal of it surrendering to her grip, disintegrating into white dust. You're burning your father's legacy, Astrid whispered. Her voice was broken. Shattered. The revolver lowered, trembling in her grip. You're burning his honor. Pearl's laugh was thin. Broken. Protect me, she said. The word tasted wrong, wrong on her tongue, wrong in the air between them. She wiped blood from her eye, kept looking at Astrid. He bled on those steps for me, not to save me from you, from what you'd do if you knew, she swallowed. Her throat worked. I won't wear his silence like a shroud. Honor, Pearl said. Her voice was steady, surprisingly steady. My father died protecting me, not from you, from the truth. He chose shame over sacrifice. He chose silence over truth, and I'm not going to carry that shame for him. She stood unsteady, bleeding, alive. Astrid lowered the revolver completely. She stared at the wreckage on the floret, the scattered pages, the torn entries, the irreplaceable evidence of 3 months of corruption. Her mouth opened, closed, opened again. No sound emerged. Pearl bent down, gathered what she could, a handful of torn pages, ink smudged and useless. She cradled them against her chest like a child, like a corpse, like something sacred. Then she walked to the gas lamp on the desk. She lifted it, held it over the scattered pages. Wait, Astrid said, but it was too late. Pearl tipped the lamp. Flame caught oilcloth. Oilcloth caught paper. Paper caught air. The ledger burned with a sudden, hungry roar, flames licking up the walls, consuming 3 months of payments, 3 months of lies, 3 months of her father's secret compromise in a single, roaring moment. Astrid did not move. She stood frozen, staring at the fire, at the destruction, at the evidence of her empire dissolving into smoke and ash. The revolver slipped from her fingers and clattered onto the marble floor. Her hands rose to her mouth. Her eyes filled with tears she did not bother to hide. Pearl turned. She walked toward the door. Each step sent shockwaves of pain up her leg, through her hip, into her spine. She did not slow. She did not look back. Behind her, the fire crackled. The walls smoked. The townhouse groaned. And Astrid Blackwell stood alone in the ruins of her legacy, watching the evidence of her crimes burn, unable to stop it, unwilling to try. Pearl Casey stepped out into the Fifth Avenue night, blood running down her face, her shoulder on fire, her pocket empty, her father's name burning behind her in a language only she could read. The rain began again, slow at first, then harder, washing the blood from her cheek, washing the smoke from her coat, washing everything clean. She turned away from the terrace, leaving the unfinished stone and rusted gates to the damp air, while the city swallowed her whole.